All right, everyone, good afternoon. And thanks for taking part in the Ring of Honor Final Battle media call. Final Battle airs live from New York City this Friday, December 14th, at a new start time of 8 p.m. Eastern on traditional pay-per-view providers, free to Honor Club VIP, at a 50% discount for Honor Club Standard and on Fight TV. Please visit ROHWrestling.com or the ROH app for more information. So for the card, in a highly compelling match of two of the greatest technical wrestlers and submission specialists in the sport, Jonathan Gresham will face international superstar Zack Sabre Jr. The villain, Marty Scurll, added his name to the history books when he won the Survival of the Fittest tournament by last eliminating Christopher Daniels. However, Daniels needs leverage for a lifeline to extend his ROH stay, and at Final Battle, he faces the villain for Skrull's ROH World title, World TV title. If Daniels falls short, this could be his last ROH match. And the first match that was officially signed for Final Battle would feature Kingdom leader Matt Taven against former ROH World Champion Dalton Castle. Taven, the self-professed real world champion, will put his purple-leathered real-world title belt on the line as these top stars face off in a can't-miss one-on-one match. Flip Gordon has been attacked, ambushed, and bullied at every turn by Bully Ray, but Flip has a chance to get the ultimate revenge, a chance to make Bully say, "I quit," this Friday. Final Battle will be highlighted by four championship matches. Ring of Honor World Television Champion Jeff Cobb will be appearing in his first Final Battle, and his title will be on the line against Hangman Adam Page of The Elite. In a four-corner survival match, Sumi Sakai puts her Women of Honor World Championship on the line against Madison Rayne, Karen Q, and Kelly Klein, marking the one-year anniversary of the initial announcement of this historic championship. Final Battle will be headlined by a double main event in a match that could be one for the ages. ROH World Tag Team Champion SoCal Uncensored, Frankie Kazarian and Scorpio Sky, literally will put their titles up for grabs in a ladder war against the two greatest tag teams in ROH history, Jay and Mark Briscoe, and the Young Bucks, Matt and Nick Jackson. And in a huge Final Battle co-main event, two-time ROH World Champion Jay Lethal will defend his title against former champion Cody, who has been waiting a full year for a one-on-one rematch for the title since losing it to Dalton Castle at last year's Final Battle. All roads lead to G1 Supercard, co-promoted by ROH and New Japan Pro Wrestling, at sold-out Madison Square Garden on April 6, 2019. And the results of this Friday's Final Battle undoubtedly will have an impact on the historic show. Today we have scheduled 20 minutes each for our guest, the self-professed real-world champion Matt Taven and Women of Honor star and championship contender Kelly Klein. So once I state your name and publication, I ask you to keep it to one question per guest in order to keep things running smoothly and to give everyone a chance to participate. As a reminder, please keep your phone on mute if you're not asking a question. With that said, I'd like to introduce our first guest, the leader of the Kingdom, who will defend his Real World Championship against Dalton Castle this Friday, Matt Taven. Good afternoon, Matt.
Oh, my goodness. What a riveting read that just was. And you had one of many things incorrect, and that is that Matt Taven isn't the self-proclaimed real world champion. He's the Ring of Honor world champion, Matt Taven. And that's me. It's good to be here.
All right. Well, I stand corrected. Let's start with our first question. Let's see who we're going to go to. Actually, someone was going to call in, but he is unavailable, so I'm going to be his proxy. Jim Varsalone from MiamiHerald.com. This is for Matt. with what your opponent has accomplished, do you feel this matchup is most important for your career and one of your biggest battles so far?
I mean, it's a historic match because it's my first defense of the Ring of Honor World title. And, you know, what a fitting way to bring it out on pay-per-view and defend it for the first time than giving the rematch to the former champion, Dalton Castle. So in that sense, it's a huge match for me. You know, I want this to be chapter one of a historic title reign, and the only way that gets started is by a win in New York City.
All right, thank you. And he did have a follow-up, and please remember, I'm just the messenger here. Any comment on that Dolphins-Patriots game ending yesterday?
You know, I wasn't expecting these kinds of questions. So fresh, so close, so much open wounded chapter what happened. So I'm not going to comment. That's ridiculous. You know, fluke wins that. Whatever. We're moving on. So that has nothing to do with what's going to happen this weekend.
Fair enough. All right, next question from Alexandra Robertson from Slam Wrestling.
Hi. So as I've been told, this is a preview to the Supercard. Am I not mistaken?
I mean, it's safe to assume that, you know, this is the end of 2018 going out with a bang with one of the biggest pay-per-views of the year, and right around the corner in 2019 is the Supercard, so you can easily assume that this is a giant launching pad to that event.
So does that put any pressure on you at all?
You know, it's not something that will be on my mind in the moment, but to say that, you know, Supercard in Madison Square Garden, a sold out, you know, MSG, to say that isn't on my mind or in the back of my mind or something that's pushing me to work harder and to make sure that I do get a win at Final Battle is the Supercard of Honor event right around the corner. So is it distracting? No. Is it motivating? Of course. I really don't need that in the first place.
Thank you.
All right. Next is Bill Pritchard from WrestleZone. Go ahead, Bill.
All right. Hi. So I wanted to touch on Cody's comments about walking into free agency as a champion. Do you feel like that helps your stock if he's successful in that? And the company should maybe put a little more value on you as the real world champion?
I mean, whatever Cody wants to do with his life is his own business and nothing that I really concern myself with. But I think in general, with whatever the outcome of Jay Lethal and Cody Rhodes might be, that the company should put more stock in me as the Ring of Honor world champion, because the evidence is right there. The proof is in the pudding. And, you know, we talked about this conspiracy for so long, and anytime I got an opportunity, I succeeded. And all this company needs to do is put me in position to put it on my back, and they would continue to succeed like they have been.
Do you feel like you can do something more to stand out?
Huh. Do I feel like I could do something more to stand out? I think I literally do everything I possibly could. You know, look at my performance in the ring, look at my performance on the mic, look at my performance at the merchandise stand. All right? What more does this company need? What more proof do they need? To me, I'm the Ring of Honor World Champion, and I've done everything imaginable, everything anyone could ask me to do. And I've done it well, and I've done it right.
Thank you.
All right, thanks. Next, there's a mysterious caller 9.
I like it.
I guess they want to be anonymous. All right, James Walsh from Wrestling Epicenter. Go ahead, James.
Good to talk to you again, Mr. Taven. How you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing great. So you're the real world champion, and there is another world champion in Ring of Honor. Are you hoping that somewhere down the road you get the opportunity to unify those two championships?
I mean, to me, I've done what I've set out to do. But you know, to make sure I don't have Melvins asking me the same questions over and over and over again, yeah, sure. You know, would I like to get in the ring and slap around Jay Lethal and or Cody Rhodes and make sure that no one has a single doubt in their mind and everyone's thinking the same way I am? Sure, I wouldn't mind that at all. But right now, it's about me and Dalton Castle and me defeating the former champion, giving him his championship rematch, you know, honoring a time-honored tradition in wrestling, and then moving forward to whoever the next contender is.
Beautiful. Thank you.
All right, next, Jason Powell from ProWrestling.net. Go ahead, Jason.
Yeah, Matt, as the leader of the kingdom, obviously there's benefits to it. Is there any negative, just in terms of you trying to be a standout singles wrestler? There's always going to be the temptation just to put you guys in six-man matches and things like that. Plus, you're trying to help elevate a couple of guys. So maybe just speak to the pros and cons of being the leader of the kingdom.
I mean, I really don't see any cons, because if I did, I wouldn't do it. You know, having your best friends to have your back everywhere you go and do, you know, be by your side with everything you do is a pretty good pro, no matter which way you look at it. You know, I'm getting to travel the world and live my dream and have my best friends, you know, experience these things with me. You know, it's not many people get to do that kind of thing. And then at the same time, I know when I'm in the ring, I always bet you guys that I trust more than anything to have my back. I mean, I'm failing to see the downside of it. And again, whenever I've been given the opportunities, whether it's in six men's or singles, I've succeeded. I pinned the Ring of Honor World Champion in Fairfax. And then I've gone on to do nothing but win every single match I've been in since. I'm the Ring of Honor World Champion for a reason. So I feel like I stand out on my own, and six men, it doesn't really matter. So I see no con to it whatsoever.
All right, thank you. Next up is Nick Hausman from Wrestling Inc. Go ahead, Nick.
Hi, Matt. Thanks so much for taking the time today.
Oh, my God. It's been so long since we've talked, Nick.
I know, Matt. I wanted to start. I've got two questions for you, like everyone. My first one is, do you have any idea if your defense of the real Ring of Honor World Championship is going to main event Final Battle, or will Jay Lethal's Ring of Honor ROH World Championship main event?
I
should say close the show.
Way.
Okay.
You know, I have not been told either way. I would assume that, you know, the real Ring of Honor World Champion should be the main event, but I've been talking about a Kingdom conspiracy for over a year now, and it wouldn't surprise me in the least if these Ring of Honor officials continue to do the wrong thing.
And then my follow-up here is, I really enjoyed chatting with your Kingdom friend, Vinny, the other couple weeks ago, about a possible confrontation between the Kingdom and LIJ. Obviously, the Madison Square Garden show is going to be ROH and New Japan. Do you have any interest in a confrontation between the Kingdom and LIJ at that show?
Of course I do. I mean, I'm one of those kids that wanted every toy. You know, I was an only child until I was 10 years old, and I didn't know how to handle having a little brother come into the mix, because I'm used to getting my way. And it's something that has been that way just inside me since I was a child, and to want to succeed in every single thing I do is just something that continues to push me to do more and more and more. And yes, I'm the Ring of Honor World Champion. At the same time, I want to prove that the Kingdom is the best trio in the entire world. And, you know, we've continued to do that at Ring of Honor, but I would like to do it on a global stage. Whether it happens at Honor Rising in February, whether it happens at Madison Square Garden, you know, wherever the case may be, I want to show that there's a reason why I have multiple titles around my waist, and I want to defend them all properly.
Yeah, absolutely. Very very interesting. I would love to see Vinny and Evil share some space together. I just think it would be great. Thanks so much for the time, Matt.
No problem.
All right, and our final question for Matt will be from Ryan Satin from Pro Wrestling Sheet. Go ahead, Ryan.
Hey, what's up, man?
How are we doing?
So, I'll be honest with you. Most of my questions were kind of taken here, so I have the most cookie cutter one left. But I mean, is there? but do you have any sort of strategy that you would be willing to share with us for Dalton this weekend that wouldn't be giving away too much?
I mean, there's not much that Dalton hasn't given away himself. Look at the guy. He's wrapped up like a mummy out there. He's got a brace around his hip, a brace around his back. You know, he had his hand wrapped like a mummy, you know, a couple months before he ended up leaving in the first place. But the guy is the walking wounded. And, you know, he's got big targets on certain spots, but I know, and everyone in the crowd and everyone in the locker room knows he's been injured for a while. He had to leave and take time off because of these injuries. And I personally think that he probably came back a little too soon, and I'm going to make him regret coming back at all.
That makes sense. Thank you.
Okay. I think we have actually one more. Chris Featherstone, Pancakes and Power Slams. You there, Chris?
I am. Can you hear me?
Gotcha.
Yep, go ahead.
Okay. Matt, how are you today?
I'm very good. How are you?
Doing well. Last time you were on my show, we were talking about your Patriots. I'm a Titans fan, so just to let you know about that. So you guys got stomped by us. Yeah.
Exactly.
Onward to the question, sir.
it's so
yeah.
Tough. I should have known the guy from Miami was going to ask about that Dolphins game.
So G1 Supercard, a big deal for Ring of Honor. 55 years unopposed for WWE, and you all in New Japan are coming in, swinging to the fences. Now with Ring of Honor being unopposed, you usually compete with the TakeOver that weekend. Does it put more pressure on you specifically and Ring of Honor as a whole to have that day unopposed this year as opposed to different years?
I mean, I don't think whether there was another show going on or not, you know, anyone in the Ring of Honor in New Japan locker room would be any less excited for a sold-out Madison Square Garden.
Sure.
So to me, it's just one of those things where it's not that I feel the pressure from the outside world. I feel the pressure from myself. Just thinking about wrestling in Madison Square Garden, where, you know, I've grown up watching wrestling my entire life and have built memories with that roof in the background, and also being a rabid NBA fan, you know, seeing Madison Square Garden, it's just been a place that I've wanted to go to, let alone, you know, walk through the curtain and wrestle and look up at that ceiling and look out at a sold out Madison Square Garden. I mean, that's just a big deal in the first place. So whether people were going to go to the other show, I don't think it makes them be able to go to our show since it's sold out in the first place. So I just think it's not really a big deal on our end, and I'm just ready for it to happen.
Certainly. And to follow up on that real quick, what do you think? I mean, you talked about this briefly, but since you are the, quote, real Ring of Honor champion, what do you think about it being undisputed as the main event for the G1 Supercard against the winner of the final battle, I guess, in your case, the fake ROH championship match between Jay Lethal and Cody?
I mean, that would make sense to me. Does it make sense to you?
It seems like a two-belt ladder match for the Undisputed Championship sounds good to me.
This seems like kind of a no-brainer. And, you know, if it was to happen, you know that I would be game for it 110%.
Awesome. Well, best wishes to you, Matt, and go Titans.
Oh,
thanks, man.
No problem.
Once again, I'd like to introduce Wilmer Von der Star Kelly Klein, will be one of three combatants that will challenge current Women of Honor World Champion Sumi Sakai in a four-corner survival match. But we just limited to one question because we are Kelly was in the middle of something that came up at the last minute but broke away for the call. So let's get rolling. First call or first question is from Jim Barcelone. I'm acting as his stead. Do you prepare any differently for this matchup being a four-way instead of a one-on-one battle? And what do you think the state of women's wrestling today and how has it evolved the past 5 years?
In a way, I prepare the same way, just studying and becoming familiar with my opponent's style, approaches, and also their state of mind. But I also have to keep in mind that while I can be aware of all of those things, the dynamic changes when I have to kind of keep my head on a swivel and be aware of everyone around me. I think I focus more on people's state of mind in a situation like this because I have to figure out who I can sort of rely on to work together or not at any given point until we get, you know, down to it. And then it's really every woman for herself. But at the beginning, I have to kind of figure out who, you know, who I may be able to utilize. And then as far as the state of women's wrestling, I think it has been evolving really for a long time, for well over 20 years before anybody even really realized it. There have been a lot of women like Jazz, Medusa, Trish, even back to June Byers and Lorraine Johnson, women who've been working really hard and making it possible for the women today to just keep working for more of a foothold and, you know, getting more exposure and more recognition so that we can show more people what we are capable of.
Okay, fantastic. All right, let's go to our the folks on the call. Alexandra Robertson from Slam Wrestling. Go ahead, Alexandra.
Great. Okay, so I spoke to Madison Rain about a week ago, and I was discussing this match with her, and she actually said you guys do have quite the history together, but she also said that you may not know that she's changed a lot in the ring, and she's been doing her homework on you, but she's not sure if you've been doing your homework on her, so I'd like to know how you'd respond to that.
Well, I would say that if I hadn't, she shouldn't have said anything, because if I hadn't already, I definitely would now. We definitely have a history. We started around the same time in the same region, and we, she's right, we worked together a lot a long time ago and, you know, came across each other many times, and both of us were different people and different athletes at that time. So, the dynamic between the two of us is going to be totally different. And this is now a situation that she and I have never been in together where, you know, I have a chip on my shoulder and I have something to point toward, something to prove toward Sumi. But, I also realize that a lot of people, are looking at Madison Rain as the future Women of Honor champion. And I know that, you know, she may be thinking that too. So I have to realize that she's going to be coming in with that confidence. And I have to come in with more confidence knowing that I am the future Women of Honor champion.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Next, Bill Pritchard from WrestleZone. Go ahead, Bill.
Hi, Kelly. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. So the Women of Honor Championship was announced almost a year ago to the day, and Sumi beat you in the tournament. So can you comment on where you feel like you've improved most since then? And if you're successful this weekend, what the Women of Honor division is going to look like with you as a champion going into a new year?
I think that when I faced Sumi, I took a lot for granted because I had her before and because I had beaten a lot of really, really wonderful, challenging competitors. And, you know, that was something where, you know, maybe I just, because I already looked at myself as the winner, I didn't look at myself as knowing that I was going to win. I sort of, in a way, rested on my laurels maybe a little too much and didn't stay as focused or didn't take her as seriously at certain times. And, so now, even in some of my more recent matches, you can see where I, you know, I may take it a little more seriously if I feel like somebody is starting to get a little bit of traction against me. I react more quickly. I don't, I don't wait it out or laugh it off. I start to change gears more immediately. With me as the champion, you know, I'm still going to be the gatekeeper, but I'm going to be in a position where not only do I have the ability to, force people to prove themselves just to be in Women of Honor, but I'm going to be the keeper of the championship in the face of the division and really try to make a point to make sure that only people who truly deserve it and work for it and earn it appear in that division and appear in the ring with me. And certainly only those people would ever have an opportunity to challenge for the title.
All right. And if you're able to impartially look at Sumi's title reign, is there anywhere you think she could improve on an already impressive reign, 245 days plus?
Well, it would have been improved had she granted me a rematch a little sooner. That would have made her look a little bit stronger, I'm sure. Also, it would have shortened her reign as well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, next, Jason Paul from ProWrestling.net. Go ahead, Jason.
Yeah, hey, Kelly. Do you expect Women of Honor to play a bigger part on ROH TV and pay-per-view in 2019, or is it going to be kind of similar to the way it's worked out in 2018?
Well, in 2018, it did increase, and we have been, over the last couple of years, if you really look back even further, we've made improvements as far as the exposure and the opportunities we've had on the TV shows, on the streaming events, on the pay-per-views. So I really expect that to continue to improve. And, I know that there are a lot of different variables at play and a lot of people that are working on all of those things to help make that possible.
All right. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
All right. Next is James Walsh from Wrestling Epicenter. Go ahead, James.
Hi, Kelly. It's great to talk to you again. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you, James?
Doing good, doing good. So when we last spoke, there was no Women of Honor title, and we kind of theorized that your, at the time, undefeated streak was kind of like the Women of Honor title. When you did not win the championship, when you didn't win the tournament, how much of a disappointment was it, and what will winning the title mean to you, literally and figuratively being the Women of Honor champion?
That was a huge disappointment, and I keep seeing these video packages with just the look on my face immediately after Sumi was announced the champion. And, you can see this absolute dismay. And I remember just being just really disappointed in myself. And I look at this as an opportunity to just rectify that and to do better. I let myself down, and I now have the opportunity to make that right.
Beautiful. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Next, Chris Featherstone from Pancakes and Power Slams. Go ahead, Chris.
Kelly, how's it going today?
Great. How are you?
Good. I was just saying if it was different than the last person I asked you like 3 minutes ago. So I'm glad you're still doing okay.
Yeah, nobody asked me anything horrible since then, so still good.
Yeah, that's good to know. the interesting thing is, you're at the spot that you are now, and the last time we talked was here at the Ring of Honor show in Columbus about a year ago, and since then, you've acquired over 530-day undefeated streak. Of course, Karen Q put a blip on that because of a count-out victory, but how does that fare with the likes of like Asuka and Bill Goldberg? You know, they get so much notoriety and publicity for their undefeated streaks. But what about Kelly Klein?
Well, people, I don't know. I mean, what about Kelly Klein? People know, what I'm about. And, even just asking that question, you're putting me in really good company.
Yeah.
Those are people who are absolutely tenacious and determined and absolutely focused. And that is, you know, that's what I'm about. That's when, you know, people have had negative things to say about me and my approach. But at the end of the day, I always have one goal and one focus, just as everyone should. And really, to me, anyone who doesn't get in the ring every time with that amount of focus, you know, they're the ones that are doing something wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. Sounds good, Kelly. Don't tell nobody, but I'm pulling for you.
Oh, I appreciate it. Take care.
All right, thanks.
Thank you.
All right, and our final question for Kelly is from Nick Hausman from Wrestling Inc. Go ahead, Nick.
Hey, Kelly, thanks so much for taking the time today.
Thank you.
I wanted to... Yeah, no problem. I wanted to ask you, there's a lot of noise being made about the comings and goings of the men in Ring of Honor going into 2019. What's your finger on the pulse like about the women you'd like to see coming into the company? And do you wish you heard more noise about the moves being made for Women of Honor going into 2019, like the male side of the equation?
You know, I think that we're hearing more about the men just because it was a more established roster. And if you look at Women of Honor, because it's still really so new, our roster has really just recently felt sort of steady and solid. But we were, you know, going through just a revolving door of women, you know, trying their hand at, you know, what it would be like and how they could do in our division. So I think we're still just in that growing and evolving phase where we are going to continue to make changes and bring in new people. And there are so many women who are wrestling around the world. And then so many women who are just, you know, showing up now who are in training or just finishing training. And, you know, we're still seeing new names and new faces. So that's going to be something that continues, especially as our division continues to grow. In the men's division, there's sort of give or take a set number of people on the roster, but ours is still growing, so that's just going to continue to change and grow and evolve. And I just can't wait to see all of the women that you know, come out and give it their best shot. I think that we are all in a position where we are having to step up our own games, and we're, you know, pushing each other to step up everyone's game, and that just can only make everyone better.
Is there one name out there, though, that you'd like to see added to the Women of Honor roster that you'd like to share some space with in 2019?
Well, I have said that one of the first women I ever saw wrestle was Madison Eagles, and she was somebody that really inspired me before I ever got to start training. And I have met her and been on events with her, but I have never gotten to actually be in the ring with her. I think I was even in a gauntlet match with her, but we were in the ring at the same time. So that would be somebody that would be really awesome to work with. And then someone I mentioned earlier, Jazz, I would love to get in the ring with Jazz. That was someone who I always wanted to work with years ago. And then she you know, sort of stepped back for a while, and I thought that I wasn't going to have the opportunity again. But she has now you know, become... not active, but she is like killing it. And that is exactly the type of person who I want to see. Somebody who innovated wrestling. And then at that time and at this time, you know, she doesn't care about what people think wrestling or wrestlers are supposed to look like or be like or act like. She is so unapologetically herself, and no one can be like her. And I really respect and admire that. So that is somebody who I would love to share a ring with, whether we were opponents or partners. I will take whatever I can get.
Awesome. Hey, thank you so much, Kelly. Best luck this weekend.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Kelly, for breaking away again. I know something came up the last minute, but you still trooper and got in here, so I'm sure we all appreciate it.
I appreciate you guys. Thank you so much.
Our media call for today. Again, Final Battle airs live from New York City this Friday, December 14th, at the new start time of 8 p.m. Eastern on traditional pay-per-view providers, free for Honor Club VIP, and at a 50% discount for Honor Club Standard. And, of course, on Fight TV, visit ROHWrestling.com or the ROH app for more information. Doors will open to the historic Hammerstein Ballroom this Friday at 6 p.m. local time, as fans will be treated to exclusive meet and greets with the top stars of Ring of Honor. And don't forget, the following night, Saturday, December 16th, Ring of Honor will present Final Battle Fallout, which is an international TV taping at the historic 2300 Arena in Philadelphia. What better city for Ring of Honor to put an exclamation point on its biggest event of the year than the city of brotherly love? There are still a few tickets left for this international TV taping, and fans can get theirs now at rohtickets.com. So thank you all for participating, your patience, great questions, and we look forward to the next one.